The devil whispered to the warrior, "You are not strong enough to withstand the storm." The warrior whispered back to the devil, "I am the storm."
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to I Am the Storm. I want to thank all of you for all of your support and engagement last week. The parental abuse storm touched a lot of lives, and a ton of people have joined the Facebook group, and many, many people have jumped into the new private support group for parental abuse. I've already popped in there a few times, and Sunny is doing an awesome job of connecting people and helping people work through their storms together. Now, at the beginning of last week's episode, I gave all of you a homework assignment. I asked you to focus on doing three things every day, and that was simply getting outside in the fresh air for 30 minutes a day, moving your body for 30 minutes a day, and socializing for 30 minutes a day. We've got a ton of great feedback, and surprisingly, no one has told me that they did all of those three things, and they felt worse. Everyone that's talked to me about it said it actually did improve their mental health. Now, before I move on, I want to point out that all these suggestions I'm making to you are just an ordinary guy's suggestions. I'm not a doctor or a psychologist, and I'm certainly not claiming that going outside for 30 minutes a day is going to cure, say, clinical depression or anxiety disorders. But what I'm telling you is that these three things will help. They will tip the scale between happiness and sadness more towards happiness. And what I'm going to ask you all to do is to choose happiness this week. Now, what I mean by that is that a lot of you listened to those words and you thought they sounded like a good idea, but you didn't make the decision to take the leap of faith and try it. I've talked to a few people that I'm very close to over the last week, some that suffer from anxiety and depression, and I got a lot of insight into what goes on in the mind of someone who, say, suffers from clinical depression, why it's so hard to do things like this. I had this discussion with one particular friend, and he described the experience to me as hearing a suggestion of something that he should do to help him feel better and improve his mental health, immediately decides in his mind that he's not going to do it, and then feels even more depressed about the fact that he's not doing it. And what I told this friend and what I would tell all of you is somehow, some way, we have to determine within our minds to choose happy. We make choices every day. Let's talk about, for example, alcohol. Well, alcohol is a depressant. It also happens to be something that a lot of people, when they're feeling down or feeling depressed, go to self-medicate. Now, I'm not bashing anybody for drinking alcohol. I certainly love my beer and my bourbon. But I'm talking about using alcohol to cope with the hard times. Taking a time when you're feeling down or depressed, and then medicating yourself with a depressant. It never ends well. We've all seen it either with our own experiences or watching someone else go through it. It always makes the problem worse. And then oftentimes leads to a feeling of regret or shame after the fact. So when someone's feeling down and they choose to self-medicate with something like alcohol, they are choosing sadness in the context of what I'm talking about right now. Now, if you take that same scenario and say you're feeling down and instead you decide to connect with a friend and have a conversation, open up about it, ask somebody else about their problems, if you decide to get outside and go for a jog or walk your dog, these are things that while they may not cure your depression or make you feel 100% better, they will tip the scales towards happiness. This is choosing happiness. And that's what I want to ask all of you to do for the next week for your homework. I want you to realize that every move you make, every action comes from a thought, and every thought comes from a belief. I want you to believe in yourself, and I want you to choose happy. Every move you make, consider, is this better for my mental health or worse? Is drinking away my sorrows actually going to help or make it worse? And how much better would I feel if instead I took my dog for a walk? I want you to really think and make a conscious decision every day this week to not choose to do things that are going to make your mental health worse. To close out segment one today, my 6-year-old son Parker wanted to give you your homework assignment.
You choose happy.
That is exactly right. You heard it here first. Tell him one more time, Parker.
You choose happy.
As I was reading through the storms in this week's emails, I was amazed that there seemed to be one common thread. Now, we received well over 100 emails, but oddly, this week, over 10% of them all related to the same storm. And as I considered this storm, I thought back to all the people in my life that I know who have suffered the exact same issue. And after reading through many of these heartbreaking stories, I decided to focus this week's episode on a storm that seems to touch a very large percentage of all of you. And that storm is infertility. To begin this week's storm, I have chosen two emails to read to you. The first email comes from Whitney, and she is well into the eye of her storm. Whitney writes, "Hey Bob, I just listened to your episode, and I can't believe how it hit me at a moment when I needed it most. For the past 2 years, my husband and I have been struggling through infertility. So far, we have spent over $3,500 on testing and doctor's visits and blood draws. Yesterday, we visited the experts at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. We are blessed that we only live about 2.5 hours away. We're still unsure of what's causing my infertility. It could be PCOS, but more tests are needed. But it could be in the, quote, unexplained category. Either way, the options going forward cost money. Lots of it. In Minnesota, insurance isn't required to cover IVF treatments, which can cost upwards of $15,000 each cycle. Of course, the next thought is adoption, which can also be that much. What do we do? After feeling so down and heartbroken that this journey isn't over yet, I decided to change my lifestyle, healthy living, etc., hoping that will help since I'm not sure how we could ever afford the cost of IVF or adoption. I guess I'm not necessarily asking a specific question for help, but more sharing my story and knowing that infertility is such a hush-hush thing that people don't talk about enough. I wish there was an easy answer and, of course, wish it was free to overcome infertility. Thanks for creating the podcast to help people and connect people in such a positive way. Whitney." So that was Whitney, who's 2 years into her infertility storm. And now I want to read you an email from a woman named Megan. Megan's storm is just beginning. "Hi Bob, I love this concept. My husband and I found out yesterday that we are not able to have children naturally. We will be starting our IVF journey next month, and I know it's a topic most people don't talk about, which makes it hard to tell family and friends about it since it isn't a typical conversation. We can't decide whether or not to tell our families or just let the pregnancy be a surprise if and when it happens. It's a lot of new information and I'm still digesting it all. But I know there are so many people who have walked through this journey and may not want to talk about it. Maybe they have some insight that can help me. Thanks for everything you do. Love, Megan." Well, there were many other emails about fertility and infertility, and I want to thank you all for writing in, and hopefully you're all connecting with this episode as we move forward. But the reason I chose these two in particular is because Megan and her husband are just starting this storm and don't even know where to go next. They don't even know whether or not to tell their friends and family. And then we have Whitney and her husband, who are 2 years into their storm and have already gone through a lot of what Megan and her husband are going through right now. And they have a whole other set of issues that many of you might be able to help them out with or point them in the right direction. Now, I'll tell you right up front that infertility is not my storm. As you all know, I have 4 children. 2 are mine and 2 are my stepchildren. But infertility just hasn't been a problem with me. So me doing research and talking to you all about infertility would be a waste of everyone's time. So what I wanted to do is to get Megan and Whitney on the phone together. Is this Megan?
This is.
Hi, Megan. This is Bob Ruff. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing really well. Thank you for taking the time to get on the phone with us today.
Yeah, of course.
So I don't want this to take up too much of your time, so we'll kind of get right into it. All the listeners have just heard your email that you sent to me. And
okay.
I know the email was dated, I think, about a week ago. But you had said in the email that you had just found out that you're not able to have children naturally. And what I had mentioned in the segment before this, before I got you on the phone, is that oddly enough, during this week, the overwhelming majority of the emails about storms were all about infertility. And so I wanted to bring you on because you are just beginning your storm. So you can kind of talk about, if you're willing to, or if you're comfortable, what's been going on with you and kind of the emotions you're going through and what kind of help that you are looking for.
Yeah. So we actually just found out, Tuesday of last week. Sorry, I might start crying.
That's okay.
My husband and I have been married for 5 years, almost 6 years. And we started our journey to expand our family about 2.5 years ago. And we were kind of at the beginning. We're just like, oh, we'll see what happens. And then it wasn't happening. And, you know, all of our friends started, you know, growing their families. And there were people announcing that they were pregnant by accident. And we were like, well, what's happening with us?
Right.
Like, why isn't it happening for us? And so I went to my doctor and we started, you know, just doing the more simple things that you can do, like using a medication called Clomid, which is supposed to help women ovulate. And I don't know how in detail you want me to get.
It's whatever you're comfortable with.
So I started doing that. I took that for about 6 months and nothing happened. And so we each got further testing done. And it just turns out that it's likely our only chance of having children of our own is through the IVF process. So normally people go through something called IUI. And they go into IVF.
Now, IVF, that's in vitro fertilization?
Correct. Yeah, IUI is, I'm not really sure what it stands for because they didn't even give me that option, but basically it's like where they assist, I can look it up.
Oh, that's all right.
They didn't even give me that option, so I didn't even look into it. But I do know that most of the people go through the IUI process first.
For you, they've told you that IVF, the in vitro fertilization, is probably the only way that you're going to get pregnant?
Correct.
Okay. Now, real quick, you had mentioned kind of through part of your storm, because this I have had, not personally, but people that I'm very close to, several actually, that have gone through similar situations. And as a matter of fact, I had a friend years back that was a friend of mine and my now ex-wives who had such a hard time through going through her infertility journey, where she kind of just stopped being friends with a lot of people around her because, like you'd mentioned, like we announced, we were pregnant. They were trying to get pregnant at the same time, and we got pregnant, and she didn't, and it was just devastating psychologically to her. Have you experienced some of that where it's really hard for you to see other people getting pregnant?
Yes, and before we found out last week, I hadn't really had the like emotional side of it. Like I was just thinking, you know, all in due time. It's not our time yet. You know, I'm so happy for everybody else. But once we found out last week, I've probably cried like 6 of the 7 days that we found out because it's just hard to see, you know, people who start their infertility journey for like a month and then they, you know, they're going to have a baby. And then it's hard to build up the courage to go to baby showers or see baby pictures. It's just, it's kind of selfish, but it's just this feeling of loss. I don't know. I'm kind of going through this grieving state that it's like, I'm grieving that I can't have a child naturally.
And so
that makes sense.
It does make sense to me, but I actually have someone on the line that it will make more sense to. So okay. I want to introduce you to a woman named Whitney, and we've also read her email on the air. And Whitney is walking through the same storm you are, but Whitney is about 2 years into the process. And okay. I wanted to connect the two of you together here on the show because I think that Whitney may be able to give you some help and some advice. So let me just start off by welcoming Whitney. Whitney, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, so Megan, meet Whitney. Whitney, meet Megan.
Hello.
Hi, Whitney.
Well, first of all, I want to say that as you were talking, I literally was sitting here nodding my head in tears. Because this is exactly how I feel. I know we're not supposed to be crying. But it really, like, I really sat here and I just nodded my head. Because everything you were saying, you're not alone. You're really not. You're not alone at all. I don't know what your diagnosis is, because actually, when you said that, you found out that last week, I also had been in on the 31st, so very close to you, to find out what my diagnosis was, and after a follow-up just yesterday, 2 days ago, I actually have a diagnosis of unexplained, so as I don't know if you know, it's kind of good or bad. I mean, my options are also, it's IUI or IVF. But for me, I mean, I have the two options, but for me right now, our family, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And me, I've kind of had a recent occurrence of, oh, I hit a deer the other day. My computer crashed. I had a cavity. So like, for me, it was kind of like all these things came together at once. And it's devastating because that's all I've ever wanted. My husband and I have only been married for about 2 years, but we've been together for about 10. So mm-hmm. we've been wanting kids. I mean, it's kind of been in the plan, and it was like, all right, let's get married and continue it. And for me, I'm like, we should have kids by now. And that, I mean, that's the hardest is, you know, what you see in your future is we have kids. And luckily my husband's very positive and is still on that. They're still like, it's not over yet kind of thing. And
yeah.
So I'm glad I have that support, and I hope you do too. But it's exhausting, and it's very difficult. I completely understand how it is to see the Facebook announcements, especially the people close to you, your best friend. Mm-hmm. Like, my best friend right now is pregnant after having a miscarriage, and that was hard, but I'm happy for her, you know?
Right.
And it's a very difficult journey, but at the same time, for myself, because I have a little bit of a different ending, hopefully, maybe, I don't know if I can do it on my own, I don't know.
Yeah.
I decided I was going to take control of the things I could, and I personally know that I needed to lose weight, I needed to be healthy, things like that, so I decided I needed to control what I could control, and unfortunately, sometimes IVF is the answer, but...
yeah. So, our diagnosis is my husband has extremely low sperm count.
Okay.
That's part of it. I haven't gone through all of my testing yet because you have to like go through your whole cycle before you can
yes.
get most of your testings done.
Yes.
So we're kind of in this limbo of I can't go in yet. So we only know like his side. We don't know if there's something on my side as well.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking at his count, it's unlikely that IUI would even work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And IUI, I just looked up, is intrauterine insemination. And so they just said that they couldn't even get enough to perform that.
Yeah, okay.
And within this last week, my husband is still on this, like, he doesn't want to tell anybody stage. And so it's really difficult for me because I'm like, I don't want to talk about it too much to him because he already feels bad.
Bad.
Feels
right.
Like all of the guilt is on, or all the fault, it falls on him. But then he doesn't want me to tell anybody yet. So I'm like in this weird place that I don't really have an outlet because he doesn't want me to tell really anybody that we know yet because he just, I don't know, he hasn't really processed everything yet, I don't think.
Well, and yeah. I can tell you from the man's perspective, I was just thinking when you were saying that I'm sure your husband is really, really struggling right now.
Oh, yeah, and he won't talk about it.
So. Right. Because the male psyche is a it's like a prehistoric animal sometimes, you know, where it's like, you know, no matter how refined we get and how open-minded we get, it seems like we still have that dead, a lot of us, I guess I can speak for myself, you still have that something deep inside you that is, I'm supposed to be the problem solver, I'm supposed to be the one taking care of my wife and doing all these things. So then when all of a sudden you find out that, you know, the issue, I'm sure for him that the issue might be him, I'm sure to him, and it shouldn't be, but I bet to him it feels very demasculating to him.
Right.
And it's probably why. And again, it's no different, I guess, for you, just thinking of how I would want somebody approaching that for me. It's a little, you know, it is no different, the issue that he has, than, you know, a diabetic who has a pancreas that doesn't produce enough insulin, or a brain that doesn't produce enough serotonin, you know, and causes some clinical depression, or a whole number of things. It has nothing to do with his own masculinity or anything like that. But I think you definitely need to somehow, or he needs somehow, to contact, get in touch, or connect with someone that can help him on his side.
I find it's interesting the way you were saying that, Bob, because I thought it was me, because my husband is not the problem. But the fact that it was almost me, I had the same thoughts of, oh my gosh, I can't even do what I was put on this earth to do, like have babies. I mean, I can kind of understand, but I'm almost thankful too that it isn't my husband, because I think my husband would be going through the same thing.
Yeah, and I imagine that is the same, you know, there's a sense of failure that comes with this, I'm sure, on both ends. And again, it's not anyone's fault. It's just the situation is what it is. But yeah, I can understand that from a female's perspective. Like, this is, I'm supposed to make babies and I can't make babies.
Right.
You know, where on a man's side, you know, they might think the same thing, but I think it turns into a masculinity thing when it really has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, so we finished after our very first consultation with the fertility endocrinologist. We left and got in the car, and the first words that my husband said was, "I'm sorry, I'm broken." And that just broke my heart, because it just, like, I don't want him to feel all of the blame or make it all on him. Like, first of all, we don't even know if there's anything on my side that's contributing to it. Mm-hmm. But it's just like the hardest feeling, knowing that I know he's going through that mindset, exactly what you were saying, Bob, that he feels like he's not doing his job of, like, giving us what we want of having kids and just taking care of the situation. And he's also an engineer, so he's like, wants to
fix it. Right. Yeah. Let's come up with a plan that's going to fix this. That's what we do. That's what men do. Right.
Right. And so he, he's kind of playing it cool right now, because we are so new into it and don't know all of the information. And he's kind of like, we need to gather all the information before we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It in his own pace.
Well, this is what I'd like to do going forward. Your husband, Megan, needs a support group, and I can tell you from, if it was me, I'm not going to listen to my wife when she says, come on, let's get into this support group. I'm like, nah, I'm just going to go out and have some whiskey with my buddies. You know, I'm not going to go do that. But I think there are, I know, I see the demographics. There are a lot of men listening to the show right now. And so all of you men or women that are listening right now, we're going to create a Facebook group like we did last week. This one will be for fertility, infertility storms. And if you are the husband or the wife, get on Facebook at the Bob Ruff Wellness by Storm site. Look for the link. Join the group. Some of you will have spouses that are willing to come, because what I'm hoping for your husband, Megan, is that enough men will get involved in that group that you can then you can say, look, there's a group of men that are discussing this. You should come in and talk to them, and maybe that will be a way to get him in there and connect with other men that are going through the same thing. But I want to think the other thing that I want to do before we're done with this, or actually when we're done with this call, is I want to connect the two of you, Whitney and Megan. I'm going to send an email out that'll connect the two of you so you can keep in touch and kind of walk through this. But okay. Also regarding making that group, would the two of you be willing to be admins of this new group that we're going to create on the page?
Absolutely.
Awesome. And that, so we've got someone who's a couple years into it, somebody who is just starting their journey. I know that you guys can connect. And just like last week, I'll be in, I'm going to create the group. I'll make you guys admin. I'll be there when things begin until you guys kind of start to get a feeling. You can run the group however you want to, add other admins, but create a network where people can open up and have these discussions and give specific advice for hurdles along the way. And I think that you guys are both going to be great leaders in that group. And I want to thank both of you for coming on the show. And also just, I mean, know that just you sending this email and Whitney, you're talking about that, you know, you're taking control of things that you've been told that your health and wellness may help, and that you're just taking control of your lives. Don't let this storm rule you. Both of you become the storm, take charge of it, and I promise you, you helping other people walk through this is going to take you in a long ways to help you get through your own storm. Since we began this process, I have been amazed every single day that so many people are willing to open up their lives and invite me and all of you in asking for help. So please, if you can relate with Megan and Whitney Storm, please get on the Facebook page right now. Pinned to the top of the page will be the link to join the group for the Fertility and Infertility Storm. Join the group, connect with other people, and I know there was a ton of you that sent emails in that I know are going through this storm. And I'm certain that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other people that haven't sent in emails. Even if you've overcame this and you finally were able to get pregnant, join the group, connect, give these people encouragement, share your stories, be the storm. And now for the last segment of today's show, I want to touch base with you about my journey through my storm. So you remember last week, I'd been 14 days into my health and wellness journey, and I had lost 11 pounds. Well, I'm happy to say that I've been continuing to move forward with my progress. This week, after 21 days into my journey, I have now lost 16 pounds. I'm feeling amazing. I've got more energy than I've had in years. I played a slow pitch softball game last night and just had a blast. So on a good note, everything's going really well with my journey. I'm really, really happy with my progress. And a lot of you have connected with me on Facebook, and we've already began our accountability group. So if you want to be a part of that, just go to the Bob Ruff Wellness by Storm page and look for the link to join the Fitness by Storm accountability group. And that's where we'll all connect on the health and wellness storm. And thank you to all of you who have already joined that group. Now, the little piece of my storm I want to touch on today that I think other people may relate with is how to handle a vacation when you're in the middle of your health and wellness journey. Right now, while you're listening to this episode, I'll be laying around a pool in Cancun, Mexico with my wife. Last week was our fourth wedding anniversary, and for our anniversary, we decided to go back down to Mexico to the place where we spent our honeymoon. Now, for the last 3 weeks, I've been on a strict diet, a strict workout program, I've been drinking my shakes every day, and I hadn't been doing any drinking, and I've seen amazing results. Well, I'm going to an all-inclusive resort, and the reason you go to an all-inclusive resort is so that you can lay around on the beach, drink fruity drinks, and eat tasty food. None of these are good for my workout program. So, I'm sure other people have been through this before, and so have I. And I'll tell you what's happened to me in the past is I decide I'm on vacation, I'm going to go ahead and have a good time, and I'll pick up when I get back. Except for I never pick up when I get back. I can actually think of 3 different occasions throughout my life where I was on track, losing weight, feeling better. I went on a vacation, I stopped working out, stopped the eating plan, and then never started again when I got back and ended up gaining 20 or 30 pounds afterward. So for this trip, I have a new plan. I'm going to name drop here for a second, but I happen to be really good friends with a man that you all know from Insanity and Hip Hop Abs and T25, Sean T. Sean was the very first sponsor of the Truth and Justice podcast, and over the years, he and I have become very good friends, and he gave me some amazing advice. He told me to enjoy my vacation, have fun, relax, live life. Don't let life live you. But there are some things you can do to make sure that you don't lose too much ground. I can tell you that while I'm on vacation, I'm at best going to maintain my weight. At worst, I may gain a couple of pounds. But this is what I'm going to do based on Sean's advice. Every day I'm on vacation, I'm still going to exercise. I won't lose that. One of the hardest things to do when you're on a health and wellness journey is to convince yourself to do the hard thing, to choose to be happy, like Parker said. No one ever wants to work out before they work out. But everyone's always happy they did after they've done it. But when you take a week off from exercising, it's even harder to convince yourself to press play. And the nice thing is with the program that I'm doing, I have a scheduled workout routine. I have all the workouts already downloaded onto my iPad. I'll take 45 minutes out of every day, do my workout before I go lounge by the pool and drink a bunch of fruity drinks and eat a bunch of crappy food. So that's thing one. I'm going to make sure I do my workout every day so I won't lose the strength, the speed, the agility that I built up over the last 3 weeks. And then thing two is I'm just going to try to be a little bit careful about what I eat. I can still experience the good food that's going to be there. I can still have fun, but I can also make decisions not to eat things that are just absolutely terrible for me. For example, I'll go ahead and go to the sushi bar and eat a bunch of rice, which I haven't had in a long time because I've really been cutting back carbs. But what I won't do is have an ice cream sundae after that. So that's it. The last step of that is just to go out and just have fun and enjoy my vacation. I'm going to make sure I work out every day and try not to get too crazy with my eating and at least try to maintain so when I get back, I can continue on with my fitness journey that's been going so well for me. So that's the update on my own personal storm. And like I said, I've connected with a lot of you who are going through the same storm, trying to better their health and wellness. I want to give a special thanks to Megan and Whitney for coming on the show and sharing their storm with us today. And I want all of you for the next week to go out, connect with other people, help someone else, choose happy, and be the storm. I Am the Storm is a production of NBI Studios. Executive producer is Mike Bussing. All music for the show was created by PutThemInASong.com. All of our logo art was created by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. I want to thank all of you for all of your engagement and support. Keep sending me your storms into the email address storm@nbistudios.com. That's NBI like New Beginning Incorporated. storm@nbistudios.com. If you haven't done so already, please go into iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Make sure you join the Facebook page, Bob Ruff Wellness by Storm. If you're a tweeter, on Twitter you can catch up with me at IAmTheStormPod. And above all else, the thing that's going to help this movement progress better than anything else is a grassroots effort to spread the word. So please, tell everyone you know. Share the podcast on your social media, tell your friends, get more people involved. Thank you all so much for your love and support. That's it for this week. So I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been I Am The Storm.